Well, today on The Travel Guys.
It's National Ice Cream Day. We'll tell you where you can celebrate.
In the travel news, Four Seasons decides a luxury hotel should have an iPad in every room.
The Travel Guys are on the road today, and it's not just any road, but historic Route 66.
Now, today is the first of two special shows introducing you to some of the unique attractions and people along the old highway.
That's today, live from the Main Street of America with The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome to a super edition of the Travel Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. I was listening to our opening theme and was just realizing how much on the road types of songs we have there, and including the Route 66 song, Mark. Mark is on the road. That's why he sounds like he's on the phone. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Hello from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Wow, I tell you, you've been, well, it starts in Chicago, doesn't it?
It does, it does. We flew to Milwaukee because, as any smart Travel Guys listener knows, it's cheaper to fly to Milwaukee than it is to fly to Chicago. It's also cheaper to rent a car in Milwaukee. So we've headed out all the way through Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, tiny bit of Kansas tucked in there, across the panhandle of Texas, and today a good part of New Mexico.
Well, I'm not really sure, based on what I know about what we're going to have on the show today, what's going to be more fun for our listeners, whether it's going to be the Rabbit Ranch or the Pink Elephant.
They are going to learn about a rabbit who autographs postcards a little bit later on in the show. And about a wonderful little town in Illinois, Pontiac, that has really become a tourist destination, basically because of the old highway, and has really made themselves a spot. We've also got some wonderful interviews with an interview with John Weiss, who is an author along the old highway, who does guide service for sports leisure groups when we travel the old highway, which we will do next year. So we've got a lot of great stuff. And then next week, Tom, we've got a bunch of folks calling in and doing interviews with us next week on the radio.
So, you know, Mark and I were taking a look at the Travel Guys radio.com and what people come to listen to and view on our websites in regards to older shows. And Mark, tell us what you discovered about the Route 66 program.
The Route 66 program has been listened to more times, keeping in mind that we've had, maybe 100 programs by now, more times than all of the other programs combined. And consistently every week, it gets listened to 10, 12, 15 times by people, oftentimes people who are nowhere near Sacramento. So this program will probably have a very long life, and it's one of the reasons that we've decided to dedicate a couple of weeks. And it's more than just Route 66, Tom. It's kind of about being off the beaten track and discovering, if you really want to discover the United States, if you really want to take a slice, this is the way to do it.
All right. With that being said, let's move on then with what we do always at the top of the show. Let's bring on the Mark Hoffman Quartet. They were a trio last week. I don't know what to tell you. But at any rate, here with the travel news on the phone, here's Mark. Mark?
Depends on what we can get for a buck and a half. Hey, we mentioned at the top of the hour that today is National Ice Cream Day. President Ronald Reagan proclaimed this special day back in 1984, and what he did, he urged Americans to celebrate with appropriate ceremonies and activities. So here are a few places around the country. For example, at all Six Flags parks around the country, now I believe we have one of those in just down the road from us there in Vallejo.
Yes, sir.
So you could get in your car right now. It's, 11 minutes after 2. You could get in your car and head down the road. They're having a special ice cream social hour from 4 to 5 p.m.
You could be there in an hour.
It's all free. In Massachusetts, a Dove ice cream truck is visiting the Springfield Six Flags with free ice cream. In Lamars, Iowa, the Blue Bunny Ice Cream Parlor and Museum is celebrating National Ice Cream Day all day today with free ice cream and barbershop quartets. Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream Factory in Vermont, which offers year-round tours, is giving folks a special chance today to visit the Flavor Graveyard, where you can sample retired flavors. So, happy National Ice Cream Day to everyone.
I wonder what Leatherby's is up to today. I'll see if I can look it up.
Yeah, that might be might be interesting. I wonder if they even know. Delta Airlines.
I bet they do.
You think Delta Airlines has expanded their Wi-Fi service to include some overseas flights. Delta recently announced plans to outfit more than 150 of their international fleet of Boeing and Airbus aircraft with the new satellite-based internet service. The installation of the new service is expected to be completed in the next 3 years. Pricing is not yet available. I thought this was kind of interesting, Tom. Besides buying Wi-Fi on the plane, Delta will sell you a 24-hour pass for $12, a monthly pass for $35, or an annual pass for $400.
There you go.
You have to be a pretty frequent flyer. Four Seasons Hotels is opening a brand-new flagship hotel in Toronto. The new 55-story hotel is going to have a very unique feature. Every room is going to have its very own iPad. You will be able to use the iPad to request housekeeping, schedule spa appointments, adjust the room's temperature, request wake-up calls, in addition to 30 other services, or you can use your own iPad. And they have created a free app that you can download so you can have all the same options on your iPad in their room. Is that not sounding marginally cool?
That is very cool. You know, it's a trend. There is a local Italian restaurant I was talking to the owner the other day, and he plans to have iPads at each table so that they can order their menu and check the wine list. This is a wine/Italian restaurant. So,
and wouldn't it be wonderful to be sitting in a restaurant and be able to summon the server and tell the server exactly what you, instead of just summoning the server, send the server a quick note and say, hey, here's what I need.
And not only that, another note is that this gives them the opportunity to be able to upgrade their menus and their information rather quickly without having to reprint everything.
I couldn't agree more, and this hotel is the first. I predict that it will be only a matter of a few years. An iPad-type device will be standard equipment in every hotel room, probably in every restaurant. Perhaps something like that will be available to every person on an airplane, of course, for a price. The Kennedy Space Center, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but it actually has started now, has opened their Launch Control Center for tours. This is something incredibly cool. So if you are planning a visit sometime this year to Orlando for any reason, you need to make sure that the Kennedy Space Center out at Cape Kennedy is part of that visit, because the Space Center is having a special 50th anniversary tour where you're going to have a rare opportunity to access special parts of the Launch Control Center. That's where all 152 launches of the Space Shuttle and Apollo programs went from. The tour is led by a trained space expert, which gives you an insider's view of the program from launch preparation to liftoff. It also includes drive-bys views of Launch Pad 39, which is where the spaceships launched from, and culminates by going to the Apollo Saturn Center. So the price of this tour is $25 in addition to the regular tour. All I can just tell you is that while I have not taken this tour, I did take the 25th anniversary tour at the Kennedy Center, and it was spectacular. If you're going to Orlando, make sure that you put this on your itinerary. And that, Thomas, is the travel news.
That sounds like a marvelous trip. I mean, what a value.
Oh, well, yeah, if you're going down there anyway, and you're just going to theme parks and stuff like that, especially if you're taking your family, what an incredible opportunity to take the kids and be able to really show them something incredibly cool.
All right, on the road, Route 66, Mark is on the road, as you can tell, and when we come back, we're going to start diving into some really great interviews. You're going to love this stuff, right here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Yeah, you know, if you ever plan to travel west, is there some singing here? Let's take a little bit. Okay, I guess we'll just jump right in. Mark Hoffman with Tom Romano here on the Travel Guys. We are on Route 66, and before we jump into our first interview, Mark, I know our listeners are curious, and I certainly am. Now, what got you interested in the old highways in the first place?
You know, Tom, I don't know. I talked about doing Route 66 for many years, and some of my customers had asked me about it. And then finally, in about the mid-90s, I finally took 5 days with a staff member and drove from Chicago to Santa Monica. 5 days was not nearly enough time. 10 days wouldn't have been nearly enough time. But at least it gave us an introduction to the road. And from there, I just have fallen. That was really the beginning of my off-the-beaten track career. And I just, now I just, you know, when I find a rabbit that autographs postcards sitting in a guy's office along the old highway, it just really lights up my life.
Now, when was the first Route 66 tour for Sports Leisure?
The first one was 1997, so that was 15 years ago. Our next one will be in 2013 next year. So it's really interesting to come out here, Tom. You know, small towns, big towns, lots of places change in a 16-year period. So the things to see along the highway are very different now. Some of the older folks are no longer with us, and there are lots of new and different things to see along the road that didn't exist when I first started coming out.
Now, is that what to you makes that old ribbon of pavement so special?
Oh, it's the people. It's absolutely the people along the road. You just they're one of the things that people really enjoy when they go traveling, at least with me, and I think all people are like this. We like to meet people. You like to immerse yourself in someone else's environment and eat their food or learn how they what they do or what their politics are, or just anything that will give you some insight into what makes their life different or unique. And this is what happens when you get out on these old highways: is you meet people who literally have slowed down. You don't meet people on the old highways who are running from one place to the next. So they have time to talk to you and share their life with you, which is really what it's all about.
Now, besides Route 66, I know that Sports Leisure and you have branched out and are taking folks to other historical highways. Why don't you tell us about those?
Well, we're doing the Santa Fe Trail next spring, which I guess wouldn't really be a highway, but more of a historic trail. We've done Lewis and Clark when they had the bicentennial a few years ago. I'm sure I'll get back to that eventually. We finished a three-year tour on the Lincoln Highway last summer, and I plan to start that again in probably 2014. So there's just nothing like these tours to really, really get to know the people in the countryside. I have never found anything like it.
Now, you know, to go out and scout these out beforehand, you know, seems time-consuming and expensive. And I know you do them on your own.
It is time-consuming, and it is expensive. It does add to the cost of the tour. But you know what, Tom? It makes for a much better trip. Once I've been out here and I've met the people and renewed my relationships, I know where the restrooms are and where the best stops are and where the good ice cream stores are and just, you know, where the bus can go and where it can't. So it really is. It's what we do on all of our tours. It's a Sports Leisure Vacations policy, and it does add a little bit more to the cost of the trip, but it does also make for a much better experience when you travel.
I guess you can say when you travel with Sports Leisure Vacation and Mark, he makes sure that if there are any surprises along the roadway, they're all pleasant.
That's you betcha.
Well, that's great, Mark. So when is your next trip? You're there now on Route 66 in the motor coach.
Yeah, we're out here by car now. So the next one by motor coach is we'll start in the fall of next year. So I would encourage, if anybody's listening to the program, they're interested, go to travelguysradio.com and just send me a note. I'd like to have info when the Route 66 tour is announced.
Now, you've done both. What do you like better, by car or by bus, and what are the advantages?
Oh, absolutely by bus.
By bus.
Even though I have an experienced navigator with me, Chris Galloway from Sports Leisure Vacations, and that's the way we do these two-person things when we're on the road. If you travel in a motor coach, listen, the guy from Lincoln Highway said it best. He said, you can see a lot more, a lot better, and you don't have to, you're not driving, so from a motor coach, the view is a lot different.
You certainly don't have to keep your eyes on the road.
That's exactly right.
I think that would be great. And if I'm not mistaken, first of all, we got air-conditioned buses.
You got it.
We've got snacks.
Yeah.
And I think you have a restroom.
You betcha. You betcha. So let's get to our first interview here. I think we've got John Weiss. John is an author, a Route 66 author, that we caught up with a few days ago when we started our tour in Illinois.
So out on the road with Mark Hoffman with the Travel Guys.
Tom, I'm here with John Weiss, and I'd give John a title, except that I think John is just Mr. Tourism in this part of the state of Illinois. He knows more things about off-the-beaten-track places, not only Route 66, the Lincoln Highway, the Dixie Highway, if it's in a ditch or a gully or behind a building somewhere. John probably knows about it and is probably working on restoring it. John has been a friend of Sports Leisure Vacations and old highway travelers for a long time. John, good to see you again.
That's great to be here with you, Mark. I just haven't seen you for a long time, and I like what you do with your people because you care about them over there, and that's just like we care about them here in Illinois.
Well, it's traveling the old roads and the old highways and stuff is not just get in the car and go. There is very much a science to it, and you're here in this corridor. We're sitting here in Joliet today, and we're about to head out on the south on the old road down towards Pontiac and Springfield and stuff. But this corridor has really become, and the old highway has really been a catalyst to create a tourism feeling in this area that maybe didn't exist 15, 20 years ago.
They say that Route 66 in Illinois is now the second or third largest tourist attraction in the state. That's pretty remarkable when you think about it, and that people come from all over the world just to see what we have over here, but we're aware of that. As a result, what we want to do is make it a very, very pleasant experience. So about 15 years ago, I agreed to take over the preservation of Route 66. I've got about 100 volunteers, and what we're trying to do is to give a sense of time and place. And we're restoring and saving as many places as we can so that there's something for everybody. We want you to have an attraction, everybody have an attraction every 10 miles or even less. But we don't want big stretches in there. There is something for everybody, whether it be architecture or we've got downtown Chicago. We've got all kinds of things from the lake on down all the way through to St. Louis.
Well, I guess that's one thing we want to tell people is that if you're going to travel the old highway and you're going to start in Chicago where the old road starts and you're going to travel the stretch between Chicago and St. Louis, don't look at it and say, gosh, I can do that in a day or even two or maybe even three. You need to allow yourself – this is a really good stretch of old highway with a lot of old icons and things to see and do. You need to allow yourself enough time.
I tell people 3 days. Years ago, this wasn't true. Before we started doing all this preservation, we realized all these things were there, and people were taking pictures of these old dilapidated buildings. But if we didn't save them, then they wouldn't be there anymore. Tourism wouldn't exist as it does today. But now it's really booming here in Illinois. And the foolish thing that some people do, they do just what you said. They don't realize this, so they give themselves one day Chicago to St. Louis, and they come to some of these places. I've seen them. They pull up in front, take a picture, and off they go.
Yeah.
And yet you're not going to experience 66 unless you get out and talk to the people and touch it and feel it and taste it.
It really is not get out of the car and take a picture. It really is drive down the road, stop here, stop there. It's when we're on tour, obviously we have to have a time schedule because we have to get to a hotel that we have reservations at the end of the day. But the beauty of 66 is just going out and discovering things. John, tell us about some of the projects. You've worked on an old service station in Odell. There are innumerable things along here. Pick out a couple in this stretch.
Well, you know, like I said, we're trying to find something for everybody. So when you're talking about nostalgia, you've got to be able to fix up something like the old Odell gas station so that people then walk in there and say, they may not have been there, but it makes them remember something from their past when they were a child. Mom, Dad, look at that over there. Or we've got one of the giants holding a hot dog that we restored. And those are the kind of gimmicks that were used as the travelers are going by, the merchants are, well, there's all these people going by. How do I make them stop here? Well, you come up with some silly gimmick, such as a giant holding a hot dog. And so the kids would say, Dad, let's stop there. This would be fun. So we want to save all those kind of places. And then we've got bridges, and we've got buildings, and it just goes on and on, along with stretches of road with the 16-foot concrete. We get places on the National Register of Historic Places, brick roads.
For people who don't know, the original road was 16 foot wide, 8 feet for each side. So there are stretches of original highway concrete still scattered throughout the route. Not very many of them anymore.
Not too many, no, but we have saved them for that same purpose so that you can go there, others can go there and find it. Now, I've written a book on this, as you know. It's in its seventh edition. And the thing that I found that was interesting for the state of Illinois, I compared once the fifth edition to the first edition. I found that there were 100 more things that have changed just between the first and fifth edition. Things are changing all the time here in Illinois, and it's just exciting.
Well, and in just the 15 or so years that I've been out here on the old highway, John, and you talk about fixing things up, and we're sitting here in a beautiful museum in Joliet that didn't exist here.
It did not. This was
and,
a parking
and
lot.
And so the fact that things have been fixed up and saved and restored has also meant that other things have been built anew, like this one, to show off and highlight. And dare I say that the nice lady in the gift shop here is a friend of yours.
Yes.
It was commenting earlier about how she had inventory yesterday and she'd let everything sell down. And to me, that's kind of interesting that anybody on Route 66 would be talking about inventory in their gift shop. I mean, you know, that's a conversation people wouldn't have had 15 years ago. They would have been grateful if anybody came in the door. Now there's a steady stream of people. You mentioned third largest attraction in the state. And there just are a lot of things. John, some passing comments to folks who have never been out on the old highway before. They're thinking about a trip on Route 66. What would you tell them to influence their decision making?
Slow down. That would be the biggest thing of all. Remember, you can't be in a hurry. If anything, I would tell a person, don't even try and do all the way from Chicago to California in one trip if you're doing it yourself driving, because it's almost overload. There's so many darn good things to see and do. So if you just fly into an area, rent a car, and do sections out of there, you're probably going to enjoy it a lot more because you can absorb all this. Because remember, you have to stop and see the people. You've got to look around the corners. You've got to feel it, taste it, and touch it.
I couldn't agree with you more. John Weiss, noted author and Route 66 historian, preservationist. There'd be a long, long list of titles. John, you and your late wife, Lenore, have really meant a lot to the highway and to people like myself and the people who travel with me. And all I can just add to what you said is that the view is so much better when you're sitting on a motor coach. Thank you, John.
More surprises along the great highway, Route 66, after Jim Naylor in the news, right here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Hey, we're heading down that Route 66. You're in touch with the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler. I'm Tom Romano in studio. Mark Hoffman, hello there on the road.
Hey, Thomas. Hi from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
All right. How much left you got on your little discovery trip?
Well, if the truth be known, we're not traveling the whole highway this trip. We're just going as far as Albuquerque, so we will actually be done tomorrow evening. We have to have an evening in Albuquerque because a lot of the old neon signs have been restored along Central Avenue in Albuquerque, and when we do our tour, we're planning an evening cruise.
All right. Excellent. Well, let's move on. Let's go back out on the road with Mark and our next little interview.
Our next stop on historic Route 66 is in the town of Pontiac in the state of Illinois. Some of you may have heard of Pontiac, Michigan, but you may not have heard of Pontiac, Illinois. It's about the center of the state, and I'm sitting here with the tourism director of the city of Pontiac, Ellie Alexander. Hi, Ellie.
Hi there.
It's a pleasure to be back in Pontiac, which has really become one of the most special spots to stop in on Route 66. Why don't you tell the folks who are listening a little bit about some of the things that they would find in the town of Pontiac?
Well, thank you. We're glad you're here. Probably the most famous stop here is our Route 66 Museum.
Where we are right now.
Where we're sitting right here by Bob Waldmeier's VW van, which is on the inside of the museum.
And anybody who's been on Route 66
knows Bob Waldmeier.
Or would know of Bob Waldmeier. And if you haven't been on Route 66, when you get here, you'll find that Bob was one of the most eclectic people on the road, one of the characters. He's not with us anymore.
And he has made quite an impression on our community. We have both of his VW and his school bus home is actually outside in our lot and is open for tours, too. And there's a whole story
about
Bob.
You had never, ever seen two more unique vehicles as we sit here looking into Bob's old VW bus. It literally was his house when he wasn't in his other bus.
Yes, and I have literally been in both or have seen the inside of both of these vehicles and hundreds of times. And every time I see in, I see something I haven't spotted before.
It's just amazing how the city of Pontiac, 15 years ago when I came here with my first Route 66 tour, none of this stuff was here. And now you've got murals all over town and this beautiful museum. And every time I come here, there's more stuff. And little towns all over the country are wondering what it is about Pontiac, Michigan. Pontiac, Illinois.
I caught that.
Yeah, that that is so special. And it's special because you made it special.
Well, it took a lot of hard work. I mean, really, our first tourism director, Betty Estes, is the godmother of tourism. We call her the godmother of the Mother Road because she had a vision 20 years ago, and we are just still really fulfilling that vision.
I like that, godmother of the Mother Road, because I knew Betty. And the first time that I came here to Pontiac, she greeted me with open arms, and that's why we decided to make Pontiac a stop. And it's probably one of the reasons that all this stuff is here, because Betty kind of had a vision of what could – in a small town, it sometimes only takes one person with a vision and a lot of passion and a lot of arm twisting. And I'm guessing that's kind of what Betty does, and that's probably your job today.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It started with Betty, and she would have an idea, and she would go into the city manager and say, I have an idea, and everybody would cringe like, oh, no, what is it this time? And but she just had such a sweet demeanor that everybody thought, you know what, we'll humor her. And now, I mean, we had no museums when you were here the first time. We have now are the home of four museums.
Wow.
And they're all within about a block and a half of each other.
The Route 66 Hall of Fame is right in this building with all the plaques and all the description of all the folks along the highway who have been honored by various state associations of the National Association over the years.
Yes, and they opened in 04. And then the Livingston County War Museum is located in the same building. And that was a love of Betty's because it was her husband who landed D-Day, had all the stuff in her home. And she's like, he has got to get this stuff out of here. I mean, he had a cardboard sign on the door that said War Room.
For those of you who are World War II historians, you probably won't find a better exhibit than upstairs here in the Route 66 Museum where they have recreated life in the 1940s. There's even an old-time radio station. There's a canteen. There's a bandstand. There's just about everything. This little town is becoming really a gem. It's a place that you hold up to others and say, this is what you could do.
We're pretty much the little town that could. I mean, we're a community of about 12,000, and we see visitors. Our newest museum, the Pontiac Oakland Museum, is just shy of 20,000 visitors in its first year.
You mentioned a lot of international visitors come here to Pontiac.
Oh, yeah, lots of international visitors. We had a visitor from, I think it was Scotland, just 2 or 3 weeks ago, who was just so enthralled with our community. He actually, and this is his true story, called his wife and said, you have got to get over here. And the mayor had met him, and the mayor ran into him again on the street this past weekend with the wife. His wife now is here as well because he thought this was just a gem. You couldn't believe it. A lot of people call our community a Norman Rockwell community. And this is what people who are especially from other countries want to see is America. They don't really care about the big cities as much as they do the small towns. They like to meet the community. And when you walk through the streets here, we always get all kinds of remarks about how even the local community is so friendly with the visitors. So we all take time to spend time introducing ourselves. You know, a lot of times you can tell somebody.
So what would we tell a Route 66 visitor, someone who's listening on the radio right now and is thinking, boy, you know, someday I'm going to go out and travel that old highway. And when I do, that place Pontiac sounds kind of interesting. What would you tell that person?
I would say that they need to make sure that they can at least spend a day with us because with all the and the other big thing is that all of our museums are actually free. So it's not going to cost you anything
to
come.
And this is not an expensive place to be a visitor at all.
No, you can come in and get a tank of gas and maybe have a meal. And we've
meals
got some
are inexpensive.
Wonderful shops. We've, you know, our downtown is just thriving, which in this kind of day and time and economy is really a difficult challenge for many communities that have no downtowns anymore. And we have a full no vacancies on our square, so that's a huge thing. So I would say you need to get to Pontiac. Take a look around. We have footsteps that you can follow from mural to mural. We're up to
cars on the streets.
Cars. Our local artists have painted, I think we're up to 13 of those.
Doing LA.
Little kids. Not just little kids. I see adult men sitting in these little bitty cars. it's just in the center of our courthouse square, we have a historic courthouse that is just beautiful. So we're just worth the trip.
One of the up-and-coming tourism destinations in this country, especially small-town destinations, Pontiac, Illinois. Ellie Alexander, thank you very much. You built it, and now they're coming.
That's true. Well, I hope to see many more.
To steal a line from Iowa, from the Route 66 Museum here in Pontiac, Illinois, where Bob Waldmeier is held in great esteem and historically remembered forever, his van, his bus. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then come out on Route 66, come to Pontiac, and you'll get the whole thing.
Yes, you will. And Mark, next we it's the magic of radio, especially
yep.
when I can talk over the middle of your interview. the talk back button to Brandon and the on-air button are way too close. I got to fix that. Okay.
Well, the truth be known, you know, you're the technical expert there at the station. So,
oh, please.
If you're not sure, why then we're lost.
All right. I really love this next interview. You guys are going to be absolutely enthralled by what we've got going on here. You were thinking we were talking about rabbits. The question is, what kind of rabbit? Let's find out.
All right, Tom, we're tooling down the road on Old Route 66, and our next stop is at Henry's Rabbit Ranch. Henry's Rabbit Ranch, in case you don't know, for all of you highway aficionados out there, is in Staunton. Illinois, and which is just south of Litchfield, which is about an hour south of Springfield, which is about 250 miles from Chicago. And I'm here with Rich Henry, and Rich is the proprietor here of this very unique place. And if you were here right now, you would see that inside Rich's establishment, well, he has a number of guests. Rich, tell us about your friends here.
Well, we have 15 bunny rabbits inside the office here. The most attractive one is Big Red. That lays on the counter here.
Who is sitting right next to us right now?
Yeah, laying next to us as we speak. And he's
Red doesn't look like... Is Red a he or she?
It's a he.
Red doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon.
He don't care to.
Yeah, he hasn't made, and he came from a rabbit rescue, so I think he feels protected here. And he likes the 66 travelers that come in.
How... Obvious question. Why are the rabbits, and how did that happen?
Well, the... Volkswagen rabbits came first, and they came in '82 as our first one, and I've drove one daily ever since. But the bunny rabbits is a different story with our youngest daughter when she was 20. And I'll just kind of shortly summarize it. Got one for around Easter, supposed to be a female. 2 weeks later, she gets a second one for companionship that was a female, and every 30 days they can have a litter. So that's how we got started. Yeah.
Got started quickly.
Very quickly, in less than 4 months. So at that point, we thought, why not change it from Henry's Old Route 66 Emporium to Henry's Rabbit Ranch? And we've been hopping ever since. Yeah. And so these guys, too.
And so folks who come here to visit can see Red and all of the other rabbits here, some of who have been here for a while.
Yeah, these nine or eight in these three cages have been here 9 years. They were born here.
And these people get confused. The rabbits are not for sale.
No, these are family.
No, and yeah, but there are items for sale scattered within the rabbits, among the rabbits.
Yeah, several 66 souvenir items. Some are generic 66 stuff, but a lot of them are unique that we have made for Henry's Rabbit Ranch.
The Rich, out in Amarillo, near Amarillo, is a very famous Route 66 landmark, the Cadillacs sticking up in the air that were planted there years ago and have been painted over a gazillion times. You, a few years ago, created your own tribute, right, perhaps, to that Route 66 icon, which created another one. Tell us about that.
Okay, it's a similar version, only on a smaller scale. Texas does everything big, so we do everything small. So we took some of our old Volkswagen rabbits that were no longer operable. And we thought, well, rather than take them to the junkyard, let's find another use for them. So we have them placed to look like the Cadillac Ranch. They're not buried in the ground, but they appear to be buried since we cut them in half. They sit on the ground. You might come here today and see them in the location they presently are. You might come back next year. They might be over here.
Oh, so they're a moving piece of art.
Yeah, they are mobile. Yeah.
Well, after all, they are vehicles.
Exactly. So we want to keep them where they can move around.
So folks can come here and see the bugs that have been not quite planted in the ground.
Right.
And then they can go down and see the Cadillacs.
Exactly.
Down, and this is a working man's town.
This is a working man's town. We're more practical. Yeah, we don't have the big bucks like they do down in Texas.
Now, Rich, you were telling me before when we started talking here that you also run your business here from your rabbit ranch.
For 30 years I've been the insurance company at the same company, and then for 24 years from this location we've done license and title service for the state of Illinois. So we do it all at the same time, but when you walk in, it appears all we do is a Route 66 thing.
And let's be charitable. The outside of the place looks a little Route 66-y.
Oh, very.
You know, it looks like it's been weathered by the road and stuff like that. So what do folks think when they come in here and they've never been here before to do business with you, a title business, and they come in and see all the rabbits?
They have no idea what to expect or what they're saying. They're just kind of awed, the local people. And they'll ask, they'll say, well, what do you really do here? And I told this guy one time, I said, I haven't figured it out yet, but we have fun. That's what we do.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Can we go out and take a look at the cars?
Yeah, let's go on out.
And here are all of the rabbits up in the air that move all over the place.
Exactly.
So as other rabbits pass away, why you save them for the right moment.
The Volkswagen bodies.
We're here at the Rabbit Ranch on Route 66. Next stop is the Missouri Barbecue. Tom, back to you.
All right. Here I am. That's weird. Upside down rabbits. Volkswagen rabbits.
Tom, they're sawed off in half. He moves them around his property, and you have to know about these Cadillacs in Texas.
Yeah, they're buried.
Buried in the ground. And what it's amazing. It's one of those. It's an oddity within an oddity.
It's like a Stonehenge, but it's cars.
You're exactly right. By the way, we didn't get a chance to talk to Dennis, who runs the Missouri Hick Barbecue in Cuba, Missouri. You'll have to look that one up on the map. But it's about an hour and 15 minutes outside of St. Louis. And if you're on Route 66, Cuba, Missouri, Missouri Hick Barbecue, H-I-C-K, is absolutely some of the best barbecue in the whole country. All right, we have one more. We're going to switch gears here after the break and come back. Our good friend Ben, who is our man, Ben Schlopik, who does all of our mileage runs and keeps us abreast on all of our expert flyer stuff. Ben has been helping people try to get tickets for the Olympic Games in London, complimentary tickets using miles, points, whatever, to go see the Olympics. When we come back, we'll talk to him and see how all of that went, and next week we'll be back with part two of Route 66. This is FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. And I'm fortunate enough to hook up with one of our regular guests by phone, Ben Schlabig. We call him Lucky. He is he's a professional blogger, has his own website, which you can find at travelguysradio.com. Ben is always great at being able to provide us some great travel information to make us smarter travelers. Ben, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again.
Let's see. When we left you last, when we had you on the program, of course you'd retired. You'd finished school, and you're out doing your thing. You know what? Mark wanted me to ask you. Have you found yourself a real job yet?
You know, the fake job I have right now is working out perfectly well. So as long as I can sustain it, I will.
Explain to people what it is that you do, Ben, for them.
Well, I'm a full-time travel blogger, so I write about the best travel deals, credit cards, that kind of stuff. But I also offer points consulting service where I basically help people book a war ticket for a small fee, which is an area most people just aren't very good at. So it's worked out great.
And you can find the link to Ben and all that he provides at travelguysradio.com. When we spoke to you last, Ben, it was out of ways, and people were thinking about traveling to, of course, London for the Olympics. And at that time, we were discussing the difficulty that they might encounter with some of their awards tickets. Tell me, how's that worked out for folks?
You know, at first, it was really tough to find both award seats to get there and also hotels using points. But lately, actually, a ton of space has opened up. I guess they've kind of realized that those rooms they originally blocked aren't going to be occupied. So right now, it's actually reasonably easy to still get award seats to London and also to book hotels there using points. And I think the key is also, if a nonstop isn't available, there's tons of space through Frankfurt, Brussels, Paris. So it's actually quite easy at this point, surprisingly.
Kind of like sometimes when you're looking for a particular flight at a great rate, it's not always ways out that you can get your best deals, but sometimes at the last minute.
Exactly, and especially for big events like this where, you know, they have very high expectations of the number of people, and then when it doesn't quite meet those expectations, then at the end they release all those seats that remain unsold. So it's worked out quite well.
Speaking of working out, how is that Continental-United merger playing out for you in regards to the availability of awards tickets, Ben?
I'd say while for frequent flyers it's been a mess, but in terms of award tickets, availability is about as good as it's been in a while. They have lots of great partners. So while award space is not great for travel on United, if you're booking one of their 20-something Star Alliance partners, space is pretty good, actually. So it is working out very well.
Now, speaking of mergers, you know, what are your thoughts? Is it going to happen? What's your best thinking on this in regards to the American Airlines and U.S. Air possible merger?
Well, I think now American is apparently in talks with 5 or 6 different airlines, including Alaska and Frontier. At the same time, it does look like if a merger is going to happen, it would be with U.S. Airways. I think that would be the most logical choice now that all the other major carriers have merged with each other, basically. Unfortunately, I mean, it doesn't look like American can keep operating independently, so I wouldn't be surprised if a merger happens. And it probably wouldn't be the end of the world for frequent flyers, fortunately, since I suspect, for the most part, American would be the surviving carrier in terms of policies and their route network.
And you know, and as far as you're concerned and listeners having the opportunity to take advantage of mileage credits and opportunities, do you see these mergers as a good thing?
I mean, at the end of the day, they're awful for consumers. The ideal position for airlines is that they're losing as much money as possible, at least in terms of the consumer, that they're losing as much money as possible while still staying in business, because for us that means the lowest fares possible. But you know, ultimately, if this merger has to happen for the companies to stay in business, then I'd say it's good for consumers. But certainly mergers aren't good. We've seen airfares rise like crazy the past couple of years as a result of consolidation. So it's definitely not good for consumers.
Ben, where have you been lately? I know you're always hopping here, hopping there. Tell us about some of your most recent adventures.
I was in Ireland last week, which was beautiful. The weather wasn't that great, but Dublin was beautiful and the countryside was beautiful. The week before that, I was in Japan, which was also great, in Kyoto. The weather was very nice there.
Now, were you officially on vacationage? You went there to enjoy the country, or did you have some mileage opportunities that you were taking advantage of?
As usual, it was both. It was a little bit of both.
Of course.
There were some great opportunities to redeem miles, and I've never been to Ireland, so kind of figured why not.
We're talking with Ben Schlabig. Ben is, we call him Lucky, and if you'd like to tap into all of his great services and maybe help you out if you're a little confused about how to take advantage of those miles that you've built up and those opportunities and just not quite sure what to do with them, simply check out link to Ben's website and get a hold of him simply by going to travelguysradio.com. Ben, we'll be checking in with you a little later on.
Thanks for having me again.
All right, we are the Travel Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
And welcome back. We have just a minute or so to go in the program today. Tell you a little bit about next week's program. We are going to take you into Oklahoma to the famous Rock Cafe and to another great eating spot. What makes a man buy his own cafe in the middle of nowhere on the midpoint of Route 66? We'll find out next week. You remember, you can check out all the guests from this week at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thomas?
Yes, sir.
Take us home, buddy.
All right. Hey, did you have a winner for our...
Two lucky Travel Club winners, Pat Noble and Harold Garfield. Pat Noble and Harold Garfield.
Outstanding. Well, congratulations to them, and thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, on the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio program. And Mark, thank you so much for going out on the road and bringing us back such fabulous travel nuggets. We will be back next week, same time, same station. And as we always say here on the Travel Guys, an hour a week is all we ask. See you next time.